I'd like to talk about a pretty simple subject this morning. I hope you all can see that. Something that's very simple, but yet very important to us. Something that God wants us to pay a close attention to. Because as in our world today, as we go outside this building, we see a lot of God versus the devil. We see a lot of goodness versus evil, and a lot of light versus darkness. It's pretty easy to see that out in the world. All you have to do is turn your TV on and you can see that pretty quickly. Or listen to the radio and you can see it pretty quickly. Or get in your car and drive and you can see it pretty quickly. Or any place you might go, it's pretty prevalent to see that this is going on in our lives today. What does God want? God wants goodness. God wants light. He wants these things to dominate our lives. What does the devil want? He wants just the opposite. He wants evil. He wants darkness to dominate our lives. We find that God had a purpose for light and darkness, a good purpose for both of those. In Genesis 3, or 1, 3 through 5, it says, "And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day." Light and darkness were a good thing. God created them for a purpose. He created the light for the day and the dark for the evening, for the night. He had a purpose for those, a purpose for our physical lives. But only one of these is good in our spiritual life, and we know that's light. Light is goodness and righteousness. To be a child of God, our light, our purity, must be seen by the world. It must shine among the world. That is our purpose for God, for us on the earth, to prove ourselves by shining our light to others and to do the things that affiliate us with light. And hopefully by us doing these lights or letting our light shine, we will find that others might be affected by that. We might have a good influence upon them. We might influence them to want to come to the light, want to come to the goodness of God. So our light can be a great influence upon the world, even though we may not think it always is. At times it might be more than we realize. This is what God wishes for us. In Philippians 2 and 15, it talks about this. It says that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Matthew 5:14 says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. The world sees us, and they know if you're a Christian, you're trying to be a Christian, they're going to see whether you're doing this light or not. A lot of cases, they're going to hope that you're not doing it. They're going to hope that you're doing darkness because that, in turn, makes them feel okay. So God wants us to show light into the world. On the other side of the coin is the bad side that we have today in our spiritual life, and that is darkness, evil, and the devil, and wickedness. The devil wants our lives to be filled with chaos. He wants us to have depression. He wants us to have insecurity. He wants us to have envy. He wants us to have hate. He wants us to have greed. He wants us to have total unhappiness with life and with ourselves. He wants us to be filled with darkness. Or at least he wants us in some way to be influenced by darkness, even in the smallest manner. It may not be that we might be filled with something, but he wants us to be influenced by darkness and evil. He wants us to stray from the light. Because as it says in 1 Peter 5 and 8, it says, "The devil is as a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour." Seeking whom he may devour. Or bring into darkness. You know, the devil has many weapons of darkness to use against Christians. The first and probably biggest weapon that he has is that he knows what our weaknesses are. He knows what they are, and he uses them against us. He knows that for the type of person that gets angry easily at certain things. He knows if we do or if we would lie in certain situations. He knows that if we're insecure, he knows that if we're insecure about certain things. He knows if we're impatient about some things. He knows if we're susceptible to addictions of some type or some sort. He knows he can influence or entice us by what we see and hear on the media, whether it's TV or radio or whatever manner, the paper or whatever it might be. He knows that he can influence us to bring us down in a negative way by the things that are in the world today that we have. He knows that he can entice us by these things. The devil wants to control us or corrupt us in some way. In Ephesians 6 and 11, it mentions the wiles or trickery of the devil. He has many tricks, he has many weapons, many fiery darts he can hurl at us. And he knows what affects us and what can entice us. My case, he knows that in my job I can get very frustrated with other people while I'm driving around. It's something that he knows is a weakness of mine. And hope you don't think that I say bad words, swearing and so on, back to him. I definitely don't do that. But he knows that that's a weakness of mine. I get very frustrated with people who are rude, people who are impatient, people who just don't pay attention to the driving, people that drive recklessly to the point of about once a week almost hit me. He knows that affects me, and he knows that sometimes I fail in my weakness. He also knows any other weaknesses that I have, as well as all of you out there. Well, usually what I try to do is use one of God's weapons in this case. I try to take some time and think about that, a brief moment. What would God do? And I pray to God for that person or persons that are doing that to me in that situation, that are doing that not always intentionally, but they're doing that and affecting me in a bad way. And I pray to God for that person, that person might change. That person might be better, might not be so selfish, and that he would forgive them. And that helps me a lot. I think that's something that it can help us all in any situation we're in. God knows the devil will constantly try to trip us up here on earth. We are here to prove ourselves on the earth, and God knows that there's going to be things put in front of us that aren't going to be easy. But thankfully, God gives us weapons to overcome the devil's evil that we can use against him. I'd like to read about these weapons briefly here in Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verses 10 through 18. A final word, and this, I guess we'll just go ahead and read this. I was thinking this is a New Living, but I think it might be the regular one. A final word, be strong in the Lord's mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so you will be able to stand against the strategies and tricks of the devil. This is the New Living Version. For we are not fighting against people made of flesh and blood, but against the evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against those mighty powers of darkness who rule this world, and against wicked spirits in heavenly realms. Use every piece of God's armor to resist the enemy in the time of evil, so that after the battle you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the sturdy belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news, so that you will be fully prepared. In every battle you will need faith as the shield to stop the fiery arrows aimed at you by Satan. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Pray at all times on every occasion in the power of the Holy Spirit. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all Christians everywhere. Here we have the weapons that God gives us. First, He gives us the armor for battle. He gives us the armor we need for battle against Satan. And the first one He gives us is the sturdy belt of truth. He helps us to know what the truth is. He helps us to be able to speak the truth to others. Secondly, He gives us the body armor of God's righteousness and goodness. He gives us the armor knowing that God's on our side. His righteousness and goodness is on our side. For our feet, He gives us the peace that comes from the gospel of salvation. This is the foundation, just as our feet would be, of our lives. It comes from the gospel. If we turn to the gospel, we can walk in peace with God and we can receive the peace from the gospel, because we know that the gospel is unto salvation. Next, we have the shield of faith. This is a shield of faith to stop Satan's arrows that he fires at us on a continuous basis. And if our faith is strong, if our shield is strong, we will overcome the devil. For our head, we have the helmet of salvation. We know that salvation is on our side. We have that in our head, in our mind. We know that salvation is on our side. The helmet of salvation, along with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Word of God is our sword to overcome evil. If we look to the Word of God, Word of God, we can overcome the devil. God's Word gives us the strength we need. And one of the greatest weapons that we have is prayer. That's our connection to God through prayer. When we need God's help, all we have to do is pray to Him, and God can strengthen us, and He can help us. In 1 Corinthians 10 and 13, the verse tells us there, and God tells us that He will always make a way for us to escape our temptations, so that we can overcome the devil, so that we can overcome what's the situation that we're under. So the devil won't control us with darkness. In James 4 and 7 it says, "Resist the devil and he will flee from you." Use these weapons to resist the devil and he will flee from you. So God gives us plenty of things, plenty of weapons that we can use to overcome evil, darkness, and the devil. But you know, God has a plan for me and you. A plan for us here on the earth. Part of it's found in Matthew 5 and 14. Matthew 5 and 16. "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." God wants us to be his light, His body, His hands, His feet. He's counting on us, expecting us to touch others. He wants us to influence others by our light. Let our light shine around men so that they can see our good works and glorify Him. Now, wouldn't it be great if everybody you talked to about God, you had a really good influence on them, everybody would listen to you and turn to God? Wouldn't that be great? Doesn't happen, does it? Probably that's the most discouraging part of things for us today, and talking to others can be, if we allow it to be. That would be so wonderful if it would make complete difference, they would turn around and change to God. It doesn't really work that way in the world today. But does that mean we should give up? No. I recently found it to be true that it really doesn't work that way at work. One of my coworkers, he's always been a real friendly person with me, and we always got along really well. Little by little over time, we've been talking about God and just slowly moving into talking about God. Seemed to be going very good. Seemed like we were making progress. It seemed like he wanted to learn more and talk more. And then all of a sudden one day things kind of changed. He just wasn't very talkative. Didn't want to talk about anything to do with God. And he told me that, "Really, I'm a bit of an atheist. I'm more of an atheist. I don't really want to talk about God. I don't really believe in God." Which I thought was really unusual after talking to him before. So the next time I went up to him and was just kind of kidding around, just to kind of break the ice so we could talk a little bit more. And then he turned around and made some really rude comment about God. And I just said, okay. And then I just left the area and left him alone. Well, ever since then, when I walk into the same area with this person, and I glance at him, he has the biggest grimace on his face, and I get the ooh look. Ooh, I don't want to be around you. And he just turns his back to me, and then he continues talking to whoever he's talking to, or else he makes a point of a big effort of completely avoiding me. And a lot of times leaves the room, leaves the area. And now also other people in the department are doing the same thing. They're starting to do the same thing. They're also avoiding me. So I think, how should I react to this? Ask yourselves, how would you react to this? And then I think, what would God say about this? My first reaction, being human, was I felt very uncomfortable being around that person or them persons. And I really didn't like it. And then what did I do to that person to deserve that? I just don't understand. Then I thought, what would God want me to do? How would he want me to react, or anybody else to react in this situation? I like what Rodney read this morning. I think it's in some ways adds to what I'd like to read. I'd like to read a part in 1 Peter 4, 14 through 19. But I'd also like to have us remember 1 Peter 3, 13 through 18. I'm going to go look at 1 Peter 3, 13 through 18 briefly here. It's talking about, in verse 13 it says, "Who is he that's going to harm you if you be followers of that which is good? But and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror. Neither be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it's better if the will of God be so that ye suffer for well doing than for evil doing. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." 1 Peter 4, 14 through 19 says, and this is from the New Living, "Be happy if you're insulted for being a Christian, for then the glorious Spirit of God will come upon you. If you suffer, however, it must not be for murder, stealing, making trouble, or prying into other people's affairs. But it is no shame to suffer for being a Christian. Praise God for the privilege of going through that and being called by his wonderful name. For the time has come for judgment, and it must begin first among God's own children. And if even we Christians must be judged, what terrible fate awaits those who have never believed God's good news? And if the righteous are barely saved, what chance will the godless and sinners have? So if you are suffering according to God's will, keep on doing what is right and trust yourself to God who made you. He will never fail you." So God tells us, if we're insulted, if we're looked down upon about talking about him, talking about Christ, or if we're letting our light shine around others, he says we should be happy. It's pretty hard at the first point of what we go through sometimes to be happy, but he says we should be happy. We should not be ashamed. We should realize what we're doing it for. We should realize that's what God wants us to do, for talking about Christ. He also says the Holy Spirit will come upon us and help us. It'll make you feel better. It'll strengthen you through this. It will lift you up. But on the other hand, he doesn't want us to suffer for bad things, such as murder, stealing, talking bad about others, and getting in trouble. But instead, he says it's not a shame for us to suffer as Christians. And that we should praise God for the privilege, the privilege of suffering for Him, privilege of doing His will, to being a light to others. So God says, just go back and keep on doing what you're doing. Keep on being a light to others. Keep on trying to open doors. Keep on trying to discuss God with others. Most of all, pray for those people that they might change, that they might come to the light. The Bible says, pray for those who persecute you. I'd like us to pay close attention to verses 17 through 19. And I'd like for us to keep this in mind as we're doing this. For the time has come for judgment, and it must begin first among God's own children. And if even we children, or we Christians, children of God, must be judged, first, what terrible fate await those who have never believed God's news, God's good news. And if the righteous are barely saved, what chance will the godless and sinners have? So if you're suffering according to God's will, keep on doing what is right and trust yourself to the God who made you, and He will never fail you. We don't know if we might be the last chance for that person or persons. We don't know if this might be our last chance to talk to them. Something may happen to us or them. We never know what's going to happen. We only have now. I'd like us to ask ourselves, are we shedding our light, or are we torn to the darkness? I'd like to read Romans 13 and 12. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. And in Revelations 22:5 it says, and this is talking about the light of God, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither the light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. This is our ultimate goal, to reign forever and ever with God and Christ in heaven. So as Matthew 5:16 says, let's keep our light shining. Keep letting our light shine among men and in the world. We're going to give you the opportunity now to be a part of God, to be able to have the light of Christ, the peace that comes with it, and the many good things that He gives us through His light, through salvation, through taking the steps necessary to get to that. We're going to give you opportunity, if we can help you in any way, to come forward as we stand and sing the invitation number